The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Have you ever broken off an engagement? Did you bomb your SATs? Have you been fired for drinking on the job? Well, even if you haven't, I'm here to tell you that someone successful has. Hi, I'm Jenny Mollen. I'm a mom, a comedian, a New York Times bestselling author, and yes, a total failure. Whether you ruined your best friend's wedding, oops, or just have an unhealthy need to constantly compete with your younger and cuter sibling, this podcast will cover it. Join me each week as I talk to friends, comedians, celebrities, pet psychics, ex-boyfriends, and more. All the Fails is a podcast about failure in all its various forms. Hi, guys. Welcome to All the Fails. Today, I have the one, the only, Busy Phillips.
So many fails.
And like the reason it's so important to have Busy on, like, is because
for a myriad of reasons.
And like, I love you for doing this in the middle of like a huge press tour that she's on right now for her new show.
I'm so tired. I want to say, like,
she's such a ride or die.
This is an annoying thing to say when you like have a lot of work, and because it's all so exciting, and you know, because
I know, but it's also the worst thing ever when you're working.
Yes, because you've gone through years where you're like, all I want is to work.
Yeah,
and then
I do anything for a job,
right? And then here I am, and I'm like, guys, I'm so tired.
This is Jason too. I'm like, the only thing worse than like a non-working actor is working actor. Like, the only thing more fucking annoying is a fucking work. Working actor. So that's I get it.
I love it.
And I love that you showed up for me.
Of course. I would always show up for you. Are you fucking kidding me? I wanted to come last week.
I mean, you're the best. But let me really tell people why this like matters so much. Because guys, like,
you think they know?
I think they know, but this for the people who don't know, the two people out there who don't know, the podcast is called All the Fails, and I had to have Busy on because so many of my fails are weirdly somehow like tied to her successes.
Deeply dead. It's not true.
Like on some level, because Busy was my, I mean, it's weird to say high school rival because we were actually friends, but like we were very competitive as teenagers in a public high school pitted against each other to, you know, in a very small theater department, whatever. And then we ended up, our lives, we've just like led these parallel lives.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I really wanted to have you on to like to go back and like to talk about first. I mean, I want to get into like all of your failures because, of course, give them to me, like make me feel better, because like I look at you as somebody who's always winning, who has always won, who has always done amazing things. I always tell people, like, if I had an agency, you would be my first sign.
Oh, my God. That's really cute. That's really
like,
sweet.
Always. Because I think not only are you like uber talented, I think you have something else that a lot of actors, a lot of artists don't have, and that's like the grit.
Ugh.
I think you are one of the most resilient fucking people ever known.
Thank you.
And I love that about you. Like, there's nothing that's gonna like keep you down. Like, I've seen you get knocked down, and then I've seen you fucking rise again. And that is like the best quality. So you would be at my boutique agency. I represent only Busy Phillips and Jason Biggs. And I have two hip pockets, Sid and Laszlo Biggs.
Jason's involved in some of my fails.
So let's like talk about that.
Well, there's all kinds of fails.
But let's talk about like the beginning, high school. Like let's go back even further. We've known each other since I was 12.
Yes. When you moved to Arizona.
When I moved to Arizona. And like you were already thriving as an actress. I mean, not like on a professional, obviously, level, but like within the community, let's say.
Well, I think it's interesting. Yeah, I just found I had a lisp when I was little. Did you know that before you knew me?
No, that was pre-me.
First and second grade.
It's weird that anything predates me because now I'm like, I've known her since she was in the womb.
I know, that's what it feels like.
Right?
It does feel like that for us.
Yes.
I feel the same. But I talked like Cindy Brady, which is a...
But that's cute for you. You were probably like the kind of kid that like would have gotten stolen. I mean, in the 80s, like that's like ideal kidnapper material.
No, because I was too weird and too
really?
Like, yes, Jenny.
I've seen those pictures of you with the little glasses.
Yeah, I was like weird.
Pretty adorable.
I know. We think so in retrospect at the time. But I also had ADD.
Yeah.
So I was like very like... Like, I was all over the place.
Yes.
And couldn't pay attention. I was just kind of like a little weirdo. And part of the thing with my lisp was that I had to do speech therapy. And then my mom, who was an actress in herself in high school, comes from like a long line of performers in many ways, but not, but just to be clear, everybody listening, she's not like from the mamas and the papas. She's not, we're, my family's not from like a famous, not from a famous family.
Yes.
Sometimes people think I'm from like a famous Phillips, the famous Phillips family. I'm not. My mom was just from Chicago and did like acting in high school, wanted to go to New York, got accepted to the Circle and Square theater school, wasn't allowed to go from her parents, like her parents.
That's right.
Told her she couldn't go after high school. So she stayed in Illinois and went to college there and then married my dad and whatever. So I think my mom put me kind of like on the stage in part to help me with my speech therapy, because like I remember the first performance I did was in second grade when I was working on my lisp, and I performed like this poem. It wasn't Shel Silverstein, but it was like something like that at the talent show. And it was like all my mom's idea.
At Cochise
Elementary. And the whole thing was like for me to get up in front of people and speak.
Yes.
Without my lisp or my R's or my TH's. You know what I mean? So that was like the first push. But then once you're up there, you know, it's addicting.
It's a drug. Yeah.
So then I was very, very much hooked. And so, yeah. So by the time you and I met, I was already like, had been the lead in the school plays and was doing community theater stuff.
Yeah. The community theater stuff.
Yeah.
What was that place called?
It was Actors Lab of Arizona was where I did most of
Not
my stuff.
Grease Paint. Something else.
Well, Grease Paint was where Amy Angelowitz did stuff. So maybe you remember
and
that
Ryan
too.
Powell.
And Ryan Powell.
Yes.
Yes, they did Grease Paint. But I never did Grease Paint. I was at Actors Lab of Arizona. And now there's Value Theater in Arizona, which is where Emma Stone did theater.
Oh, got it.
And my sister works for them.
Oh, how funny.
I know. She's like, she works in their offices.
Yeah. Random.
But it's like huge. Value Theater is huge. It's like, Value Theater is like the one
that's
in
the one
Phoenix
now.
Yeah.
That's like the Ruth Layton. If you're signed with Ruth Layton, you're going places.
Oh my God. Ruth Layton was like a local agent.
Yes.
In Scottsdale, guys. Or Robert Black.
Oh, Robert Black as well. Because then he merged with Ford.
Right. Robert Black Ford models.
Yeah. Yes.
Totally. Were you signed with either?
I was signed with Ruth, and I had like a headshot that was like windblown.
Yeah, of course, obviously.
You didn't have a composite card? No. Molly Mullen only sprung for the like windblown action.
It was weird. Like, it's weird for people to understand, but where we grew up, I think because in part the proximity to Los Angeles, like there were kids that had agents in LA. Our friend Amy had an agent in LA when we were kids,
yes,
and would fly over there and audition. And I remember like the big news was that she was like screen testing for Wednesday Addams in the original Addams Family movies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Were you jealous of Amy?
Yeah. Oh, and I was begging my mother to like let me. My mom was like, busy, we don't have the money for that. Like, what are you talking about?
But it's funny because your mom, do you consider your mom a stage mom?
I mean, sort of. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Like, Jason's mom wasn't a stage mom, and yet she literally started working nights to drive him into New York City to do auditions.
I think that's a stage mom. No, that's a stage mom.
But I know, but you meet her, she's so not. She's like never been invested in like, I don't know. It's weird. Like Angela is like, oh, you got it. You didn't get it. She doesn't have that. Like, she wasn't, you know, like the moms in the auditions that like would be like, honey, okay, read me the lines again. Like,
yeah, but my mom's not like that either. Yeah. That's so interesting because my mother's not like that.
Yeah.
Like, she definitely, I don't know. Yeah, she was always like, her thing was that I could just, that theater was fine for me to do like high school theater or even Actors Lab stuff. But that professionally, like, I shouldn't even try until I had to go to at least 2 years of college was like her whole thing. I don't know why 2 years of college is so weird, but.
So she wasn't like, because I remember you were doing something. This was now in high school. And she's like, that's why I want to send her to New York.
Oh, she didn't want me to go to New York.
So funny. I remember her saying that. Like,
that's
word
so weird.
For word.
But my mom is like kind of a person, I think, who says things. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Who's just like, I don't know. Because I remember saying that I wanted to audition for NYU or Juilliard or something. First of all, I did not have the grades to get into NYU. Let's just be clear about that.
But I didn't have the grades to go to UCLA. Like, I think you would have gotten in. I think you honestly should have auditioned.
Well, but my mom was like, New York's too far. You can't do it. My mom was like terrified of me going to New York. Yeah. And honestly, obviously, everything worked out. You know what I mean? You're here now. We're here. It's all good.
We're in New York.
Remember freshman year of college? You were at UCLA. I was at Loyola Marymount University when we went to see Ani DiFranco.
Yes.
At the Mayan Theater downtown.
And you drove us there in like your like red Honda something.
What? Red Honda Civic Si.
Yes.
Stick shift. Did you not have your car in LA? Did your parents not let you have your car?
Freshman year.
Jesus.
When I lived in the dorms.
That's insane. You had to have a car in LA.
I know. I got it. Maybe halfway through. I forget when I got it. All I know is I got a lot of parking tickets once I had it. So it was
That's hilarious. So maybe your dad was right.
The best financial decision for me. But wait, so tell me like, okay, so I come to school in sixth grade. You're already
Jenny,
in all
how long
plays.
Is this podcast?
We're going to. I know. You're already in the plays. Like, when does our like rivalry start?
I don't think it started until
high school.
Yeah. I mean, I remember middle school feeling like, wait, the pretty girl wants to act now. Like, to me, you were, like, pretty unpopular.
Which is so funny. I know. Like, I was not friends with those people.
I know, but, and it wasn't until I, like, read your book.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, she had a totally different
impression.
Also, life than I thought.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because you thought that Molly was my real mom.
I thought Molly was your mom. I thought you just had these, like, glamorous, fucking young, hot parents who were so cool.
Right.
And famous.
Oh, yeah.
Locally famous.
Right.
Like, you had locally famous parents. Like, you drove a Mercedes. Well, that was later. But, like,
a 300D that you could take the key out of and it would still run.
But I didn't know that.
My dad paid, like, 10 grand for it.
Right. But I didn't know that. You know?
Right.
I was like, I don't know. To me, you were just, like, yeah, this, like, very glamorous, beautiful. And I remember when you came to school in fifth grade, I always felt othered. Like, I always felt, like, not attractive or, like, you know, weird, and, like, paying attention was hard for me. And I felt like I was made to feel dumb by teachers. And, yeah, and, like, my bangs never did the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. And you showed up, and I remember just, like, you were so beautiful.
Oh, my God. That's so nice.
It was true. It's true. And all the popular girls wanted to be friends with you because you were so beautiful. You
that
were, like,
so nice.
And so, like, in my head, I mythologized you and your family as, like, being, like, Jenny Mullen is, like, well, her dad's on the news, and
right,
the doctor, and
yes,
her mom, who I thought it was your mom,
mm-hmm.
was like a singer,
right? She like sang at the World Cup or some shit,
right? So that was like my impression of you, and then in middle school,
we found out she was like actually like a grifter.
I don't know. Where is she? I'm afraid she's gonna come
in
the door.
I'm scared of. Oh God, I would die.
But anyway, so I remember in middle school you. We're in the play with me. I was like the
You were the
lead.
I was like some throwaway cast member.
You did a monologue. You had your little monologue moment.
Don't you remember?
You were so cute with
your
little monologue.
You were a runaway teen. I think I had one line.
Was it called The Runaways?
It was The Runaways. I believe it was like written by the theater teacher. Like I don't think it was part of the play.
I mean, wait, your monologue?
Yeah. I think it was like an add-on.
I don't know.
I think she gave those us. We were literally Busy was the lead, and I was somebody who was in the fake audience of runaways that came to see the show.
I don't kidding. Like. I can't even believe you remember this. I barely remember any of it.
I mean, of course, because you had a
except
whole career at that point.
Wait, except that there was the guy.
You were already thriving, and I was failing.
There was that one kid who looked like he was 40.
Oh.
He was so nice, but like, do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes.
And he was in the play as well. But he was just like one of those kids that like had gone through puberty like just before everyone else. And he was just so tall and his voice was so deep.
Yes.
And it was
jarring.
It was jarring. He was cat. Everybody else was like tiny. But then in high school, I do feel like you and I were the victims of the patriarchy because we were really like pitted against each other.
Yes.
In a way that was so shitty. And we both just went with it because we didn't know any better.
Yes.
And like, you don't know any better when you're no. put in these positions, you know?
And like, you think there can be only one. I mean, it's such a like, it's also like, that's a patriarchal construct as well.
Totally.
Like, for women, there can only be one woman.
Right. I don't remember the boys in the theater department having rivals.
No, at all. At all. But like, I remember there were like certain parts that I wanted that you would get.
Oh my God, for sure. You too. Well, the big one for me, Guys and Dolls.
Oh, I know, that so one almost that pissed. One that one almost didn't count because you couldn't even audition. You
I couldn't do it.
You had to go do.
But I was devastated.
You had to do a Mattel,
my Mattel Toy Fair job, which then you did,
and then we both became Barbies for Mattel.
Yes, but I was a Barbie first.
You were a Barbie exactly. See what I mean? There were so many times, and then we moved to LA, and I'm at one college, you're at the other college.
But then but I want to say again, our being pitted against each other continued to be stirred by boys. Men kept.
Yes.
There were a couple men, and we don't need to mention their names, yes. but we know who they are.
Yes, we do.
And they would like be like, oh, did you hear? Jenny got hip pocketed by an agent at CAA or whatever. Oh, did you hear?
Oh,
Busy's audition. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they would like come, like, they would like go back and forth between the two of us. So you and I were like never able to have our own relationship.
No.
Because we were constantly being like pitted against each other. And I do remember feeling early on in LA, like, if I don't fucking do it before Jenny, like, there's only room for one of us, which was so stupid.
But don't you feel like in a way, like, I always say I'm like so grateful for you because like, in a way,
it was motivating.
It motivated me. Like to have you was and like it might have been terrible that I was like comparing myself, but like it did motivate me. Like it kept me going in a weird way. That like Jason's like, I don't have anyone from my high school that like then went out to LA with me that like then continued to work in the entertainment industry, Jenny. This is like actually not normal.
Yeah, it is weird.
But it did. It is strange. And now we live like two blocks away from each other in New York, which
crazy.
Is also like bananas. Which is why we have to write a book together one
day. I know,
day.
We really do.
But like, it's funny how like sometimes people that come into your life, like that you think it's like, oh, this is like my rival. This is my like perceived enemy. It was such a gift.
I know. And like, I remember also though, reading your book and like having just this whole other understanding of our childhood and teen years and like just seeing you through the lens that you see yourself through.
Yeah.
Like that's what your book allowed for everybody, you know, but especially for somebody who had all of these preconceived ideas about what
and
your life was.
And lived so much of it with me.
Yes. And lived so much of it with you and like thought like, oh, things were always easy for her. Like she just had it, you know, whatever it was. I remember feeling like bummed that I didn't know. No, I'm going to cry. I'm only crying just because it's just, I'm just, okay. But like, I just felt bummed because I felt like we could have really been there for each other in high school.
Yes.
In like a real way that maybe like even the friends that we had in high school didn't understand and weren't able to be there for us. And like,
100%.
I think that you and I both felt really alone for so much of our young lives.
Yes.
And it did bum me out because I was like, we could have really like been there for each other.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I feel like our trauma was so similar and we had no idea until later in life.
No, I know. But here we are.
Yeah. I know. But like what? So once you were in LA and we were, I feel like our children sort of brought us back together. But those years before you had...
Well, you and I got pregnant at the same time.
Well, first, we got pregnant at the same time.
And you lost the baby. And then I remember feeling like, oh my God, I can't deal with this. Like, this is too much. And I feel so terrible. Like, you know, because that was hard. It was hard for you.
No,
obviously.
I felt so free. I was happy that I miscarried.
Well, listen.
You guys, like, I had taken the morning after pill. And I was still pregnant. Like, I was on ecstasy when I got pregnant. Like, there was no way. Also, like, Jason and I had only been dating for
You guys were
like
really
5 months at that point.
Yeah, it was really early.
And then
early
when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, who the fuck is this guy actually? Like, I don't know if I want to be with you. You can't hijack my life. I'm 28 and I'm not as famous as Busy is. So like, I can't have a baby. And I was freaking out. But then like, I did realize I loved him. Thank God. It pushed me over the edge. Like I was afraid of commitment, but that like forced me to like grow up.
Right.
And so then the miscarriage was such a like blessing because it like gave us another 5 years before we became parents.
Yeah.
No, but I know like from an outside point of view, especially you, somebody who's always been neck and neck with me on different things.
Yes. And then it was
and
like,
now you're having the baby and I lost the baby.
Right. Yeah. That's what it felt like. And I was just like, eek.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
And then I was just thrown into being a mother. And that was its own. That's its own intensity.
Would you say like, you know. I mean, like, listen, people look at you and they think, oh, my God, she's had so many successes. Like,
yes.
There's just like she whatever. Do you whatever
mean, they I think. List all the failures.
No, I want to know, like, I want you to like tell people like because I don't think that people see behind the curtain sometimes when it comes to celebrities and actresses. It's been a fucking grind. Like,
it's a grind.
I know that.
Yeah.
I've seen you fucking.
But even from the start, like, I think that, you know. God, I was so people like I want to say the word blessed and I won't, but like I was so lucky and just I can't even overstate how incredibly fortunate it was that Freaks and Geeks was my first job.
Yes.
I mean, that was
a blessing.
A true blessing for so many reasons, for the reasons of like the quality of the show and the people that I was working with and the respect that they gave us and especially me and Linda Cardellini in terms of our bodies and the way that we looked and like not talking about that, not making that a thing. Because then I obviously went on to try to get other jobs, to then do other jobs where my body became very much a discussion. My appearance became very much a discussion. And you're like 21 years old.
Yeah.
And people are telling you to like, we just want you to feel your best. And we think that that would be 20 pounds less. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff.
That was said to you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this was also like we were in the time of
the
Calista
early aughts,
Flockhart.
The early aughts, and, yeah.
But people actually said that to you. We want you to lose 20 pounds.
Yes. I was asked to lose weight for a pilot that I did. I was asked to lose like, I remember saying.
Who said that?
My manager had to call me. Yeah, through casting. Yeah.
So your manager calls you and is like, they want you to lose weight.
Yeah. I was with a male manager at the time and he was trying to be like super diplomatic about it. And he was like, and again, like what I just said is exactly it. Like everybody just like, they're so excited. They think it's going to be so great. They just want you to feel your best.
Sick.
They want you to feel your best. And I was like, I don't really understand what you're saying to me. So they want me to lose weight. And he's like, well, Biz, I mean, like, yeah, that would be, I think that they're hoping that you could, like, by the time we tape it. And I was like, how much? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I mean, there's not like a number, but like, I would say like 15, 20. And I'm like, it was 21, I think. And I was like, maybe it was 23. It was after Dawson's Creek. I think it was after Dawson's Creek. Was it after? My God, time. Yeah, it was after Dawson's Creek. So I was probably like 22.
What the fuck?
I know, it's crazy.
But like,
but that's not the only time that happened. I also was like, I was told so many crazy things. I wrote about this in my book, but like, just because it's like, because I want people to talk about it because it's so crazy.
It's bananas.
Yeah.
And nobody would say that now.
I would hope not.
So did you try to lose weight for these people or did you tell them to fuck off?
Are you kidding? Of course I did. I wanted the fucking job. What are you talking about?
So they were like, you're not getting the job.
No. I mean, I had the job. I was already cast. And the next day.
But how did you walk onto that set knowing everyone's looking at me right now to see if I did what they asked?
I was really lucky because Deborah McGuire, who had done the wardrobe for Freaks and Geeks, was hired to do the wardrobe for this pilot. And so she and I were able to like have really frank conversations about it. And she was very much like, baby girl, like this is insane and you're beautiful and don't let anyone, you know, she was really warm and like loving to me. I've worked with horrible costume people too in my career who have made like shamed my body and made me feel like shit about it. But she was very like loving to me. And she was like, and we'll send this picture and we'll like here, you know, do this. Cause you know, they're just, it's so funny. I was just thinking about it and I'm like, we don't even really do that anymore, do they? Maybe they still do, where they take your picture to send it to the network get approval.
For the outfits?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Remember?
The Polaroids?
What?
The Polaroids?
The Polaroids.
Yeah, I hate that.
Right. They used to take, I don't know if they still do that, because I feel like now I'm in a place where they don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know if they do that for younger talent, but like they would take your picture, not just to send to producers. It was like, it would go to the network.
Yeah. Or like even to the director, like, do you like this color? Is this going to work? Blah,
right,
blah, blah.
I always like, my impression was always like that they were judging my body. Do you know what I mean? That was like, and I think that's in part because of the trauma of like having that happen to
me. Right. Wait, and did you always feel...
Wait, but you know, wait, just speaking of failures, you know, the year after Freaks and Geeks was canceled, that next pilot season, I tested for, so you guys, Hollywood Break, this is what I say on my podcast, Hollywood Break, when you test for a TV show, it's like the farthest you can get.
Yes.
But it's like the person, the
you've
people
signed
that
a
are,
contract.
You've signed a contract. The people that are testing for the shows, or someone is going to get the part.
Yes.
And you're testing against either anywhere from like one other girl
to like two.
To like, yeah, when you get to network, like most of the time it's like three of you.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's two.
Yeah.
If there's one, you're never going to get the part. Just FYI.
That's hilarious.
If they only bring one person to network, you never get it.
Why do you think that?
Because it's true. Because you're not, okay, because first of all, you have to test. You're not famous enough to just be offered the part.
Right, correct.
But if the producers and directors are like, this is our number one choice, is the only person we want, and they only bring one, the network and studio feel like they have no choice. And then they're like, we need to see more people. Truly, truly. That happened to me before also, by the way, on another pilot, which I ended up not getting.
That's okay. Interesting.
But that season, that pilot season, when there used to be pilot seasons after Freaks and Geeks, was canceled for the following year. I tested and did not get. I went to studio and network for 9 pilots. 9. And I did not book one. And I was
Were you devastated
my career
at
is
the
over.
End?
Yeah, I was truly devastated.
But so when did you start, like, at what number were you like, this is, something's wrong?
Well, you know how it is, or do you, I mean, you remember how it was back then? Like, some of them were like multiple in like the same like 3 days.
Yes.
So when it got down to the end and it was the last like two or whatever that I was doing, I was like, obviously I'm gonna get one of these. And when I didn't get either one of them, I was like, no, I think I was just like a little lump on the ground. I was like, I like could not stop crying.
It just breaks you.
Yeah. And I also just felt like, I remember driving in my car.
You take it so personally. And now that like I'm on the other side, I'm like, wait, how do, like, acting is so arbitrary. Why we pick someone over someone else? It's so random.
Well, it's so funny you say that, because I remember, I was just about to tell this story. I remember driving and I got a call, driving on Wilshire, and I got a call that I wasn't going to get The Education of Max Bickford.
I love the names for these things.
I mean, it's like as if you made it up, you know?
It's as if you made it up. And it's like, and it's so funny how like at the time it's like the end all be all. And I love when shows like that like become nothing. And we cared so deeply.
So deeply. And they were like, Biz, and they just love you so much. And really like they felt like it could be either one of you. And like they love you, and they just want you to know they love you. And like it could just be, you know, and they're going with Kate. They just felt like she had a better vibe with the kid playing the brother. And like they just, you know, but they love you. And like they just felt like it was like almost like arbitrary.
Yes.
And I remember that word. And I was like, arbitrary?
It's my fucking life, but okay.
Oh, it's arbitrary?
Yeah.
And I was I was beyond devastated. Devastated. Also, I was just like, am I going to have to get a job at Fred Segal? Like,
right.
What
so
am
what
I going to
do?
Do?
In that moment, what did you do? Did you think, did you have enough money that you like saved that you could like continue living your life and just auditioning at that point?
Well, yeah, because you used to be able to make money as an actor.
Yes. Yes.
I had done an independent movie in the fall. I remember, like, I'd done a couple things, and then I had been offered this. Remember when MTV used to make
The movies? That movie. I remember watching it.
Which one? I did two for them.
The Spring Break movie?
Yeah, that's it. So they offered me that movie.
Uh-huh.
And it was so bad. But it was like a 3-week shoot in like January. And I think I got paid, I want to say I got like $45,000 or something like that.
Okay.
Or like $55,000 for it.
Yeah.
So because I took it, thankfully.
Yes.
Because then that was the pilot season that I didn't book anything. And so because I had done that terrible movie, I was able to like not
live.
I was able to live. I did in the summer, like in June, I started thinking about, and Emily Beebe was my roommate and she worked at an ad agency, you know, but I did start thinking about like, what am I going to do? Cause I didn't graduate from college. And I'm like, the fuck am I going to do if this is like done? You know what I mean? And
did you ever really think it was done though? Because I think that like,
no, I didn't. But like, I also just didn't know what I was like, I'm not going to be on a TV show next year.
Yeah. Back then it was like, if you didn't get a pilot during pilot season,
yeah,
you had to hope that you were going to do like at least like a handful of guest stars.
Right. And I mean, also, I would say, you know, things get really slow in June.
Yeah.
Anyway, in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I think I was just in a moment where I was like, oh, this sucks. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I remember going to Fred Siegel and like thinking like, well, maybe I could work like retail for a while because I had worked at California Pizza Kitchen and like, you know, I don't know. I was like,
you can work at Morrow's.
I was like, well, I thought like,
they have a great shrimp salad.
I could work at Fred Siegel and like get a discount. You know, like, that was like in my head. I was like, I guess I could do that. No, I could be okay with it.
Yes.
And then I got a call that John Kasdan, who had been a writer on Freaks and Geeks, had gone to Dawson's Creek and was like writing on Dawson's Creek, and they were going to college, and he's like, and there's, you know, and he's like, there's this new part, I'm writing this part and it's for you, you have to be this part. And again,
roommate.
Yes, but I also do say that anytime someone says they're writing a part for you, it's also, you're never gonna get it.
That's happened to me so many times. It's based on you,
right?
And then you go in and they're like, actually it wasn't, I guess.
Somebody was telling me once, they're like, oh, I just saw a breakdown.
You're not you enough.
It said a busy Phillips type. And I was like, well, why didn't they just ask me?
Yeah, I hate that so fucking much. Was there ever anything that I did that you're like, oh, Jenny's doing that?
Yeah, the book.
No, I feel like shit.
Your first book.
Oh,
I had
really?
Always wanted to write a fucking book. I tried to sell a book when I was like 23 or 24. I tried to sell a book of
I feel great about myself now.
Yes, it's true. It's true. When I was like, I had already been on Dawson's Creek. So I was like maybe 24, and I had been writing these like autobiographical essays. And my agent, like at the time, was like, oh, you should, I'll put you in touch with the book agent here.
Gave
them to the book agent. And then I had the most disheartening phone conversation with her where she was just like, I mean, I don't know about these stories. If anybody really is like going to want to hear about like your she called it a pregnancy scare. I was like, it was an abortion, but okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she was like, I think people are more in the market for like, you know, like fun gossipy, like what was it like working with Katie Holmes? And
oh,
like,
yeah. So they wanted you to do like a celeb tell all.
Right. Which ended up kind of being my memoir. But I remember reading your book and just being like, ah, so good. And I'm so jealous. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love knowing that.
Yeah.
But we
truly, I was.
So you had Birdie.
Mm-hmm.
You became a mother.
Yes.
Do you feel like that changed you in just in terms of like how much your career even like meant in general?
No.
Do you? In different ways.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, nothing is all one thing, right?
Right. Yes.
No, but like I famously went and auditioned for Glee the week after I gave birth.
Oh, my God.
Wearing like a diaper.
What?
Like bleeding. So like it was ridiculous.
Did you feel like if I don't continue
for an hour?
Oh, my God. That's
insane.
Sweet, though. But no, I mean, I get it. But did you feel like if you didn't continue, it would all go away?
Yes.
So like you were driven by also this fear of like.
Yes. And then I didn't get a part. And then I didn't get a part because I was too fat from the baby, post baby, which they just flat out told me.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
You would never.
I mean, I can't even imagine how that would work today. I can't imagine that they would even admit it today.
No, they would say something else.
Yeah. But my agent was very clear. Like she told me the real.
Did you have body issues before you got into Hollywood, or did Hollywood give you the body issues?
No, I think I always had body issues. Well, ish. I don't know. I think our generation is just a product of so many things. Like you said, like it was like Kate Moss era. I remember having like all the pictures up on my walls. I remember I had a friend who was like able to wear like Calvin Klein underwear and low rise jeans. And I've always had hips, and like that did not look good on me.
Right.
And I was like, I always was like, why do I have hips? You know, but yeah. And I did like, oh my God, I remember like doing like freeze the fat at one point on my hips.
Yeah.
Because it was like,
I have a couple friends that did that too. I don't know if that it works.
I don't think it works. No, I think it's all a sham, but.
Yes.
Then I also got freaked out. I was like, I don't want to do too many weird things because like, what if it like redistributes in weird ways? Like that made me really nervous.
Yes. Yes. I know. Yeah. They scare us.
Mm-hmm.
They scare us whether we do or whether we don't. It doesn't matter.
Totally. Yeah. But so, I mean, and I think,
you never fell into like an eating disorder like I did.
No, I would not like.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
Like, how did you escape it?
Well.
Because you had the same pressures. Yeah. And people just hammering you.
I don't know. I think because part of my ADD that was unmedicated for so long.
Yeah.
Like I would get fixated on eating. Like I like can do that thing.
Yes.
So I never was able to like, but I was like on every diet.
Okay. I remember us doing like meal deliveries.
Oh, meal deliveries. Oh my God, dude. I still occasionally will do a meal delivery.
But more for convenience now.
Well, yeah. But like. Yeah. I mean, I did Jenny Craig.
Oh, wow. Okay. All of them.
I did Weight Watchers. I did all of them. I did all of them. So it wasn't like, I wouldn't say that my eating, I never was like anorexic or bulimic.
Yeah.
But I would say that I like definitely dove into diet culture deeply and was like deeply ensconced in diet and workout culture and like
body
stuff. Yeah. In ways that, and then I would like, also, I think the feminist part of my brain would like take over at a certain point. And then I'd be like, fuck this.
Of course.
And then I would like rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is also wild, you know?
Oh, I hate the roller coaster.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I've fucking been there. So like having two daughters, I have two sons. So having two daughters, it's got to be even crazier. Because now you're like modeling behavior for two younger women.
Yeah.
Like, how has that been for you?
Yeah. I mean, that actually is the thing that like has changed me more than anything.
Two daughters.
Yeah. When Birdie was really little, it just became very clear to me that like I had to stop talking about my body.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah.
I just definitely never talk about anyone else's body, any other woman, or even like how another woman looks in something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And it's like the kind of thing that maybe, I don't know, you would do unconsciously. Oh, you should have seen, Mark, you should have seen so-and-so. She looked insane today. You know what I mean? Like I had to like really police myself, but it's that fake it till you make it thing, because I do think it kind of started to actually change my brain.
Yes, totally.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. So it was actually like a benefit. And also I started to notice other moms and the way that they talked about their bodies and the way that they were weird about like putting on bathing suits and getting into the pool in the summer. And I was just like, what are we doing, guys? Like, what are we literally doing?
Right.
Like these kids are looking at us. They think we're perfect. They don't see anything. They don't know the difference of bodies. Like they're not trained in that way. But if they hear you say like, oh, I haven't worn a bikini since 1990 or whatever. Like,
right.
They're obviously going to be like, oh, right. I don't want to wear a bikini. I don't want to show my stomach, you know? And so I just felt like I had to be sort of just like let go of it. Even if it was really hard for me in my brain.
Yeah. To get there.
Do it. Yeah. With Birdie. The preteen years have been proven to be worse than the teen years.
Oh, like, okay.
And so Cricket's in that era right now where she's just like, ugh, everything I do is so annoying to her. She's just like embarrassed by me constantly.
What did Birdie finally say was like, is that going to be like her? Oh, Her trauma.
I worked all the time. She was raised by our nanny, Ileana. Oh, that's okay. What she said to me once. And I was like, baby girl, I don't know what you want from me. I'm like, what do we need to do?
Yeah.
Are you a feminist? Do you identify as a feminist? Do you think I should have just been at home? You want me to be a trad wife? Like, what is it that you want?
Trad wife.
No, literally. I was like, what is it that you wish that I had been? Did you want me to be at home, like, baking cookies?
Yeah.
And just like,
and she does. Because Sid thinks that, I think that's what Sid wants too.
I think that when it comes down to it, she kind of knows it's bullshit, you know? But like, yeah. I think she also knows it's a surefire way to like trigger me and like upset me by saying like, you were always at work. You were never there when I needed you. And yeah. I was like, that's actually just not true. It's just not true, you know? And I sort of like built my entire career around being able to be there for them. Like I turned down jobs that filmed out of town.
Yeah.
I still do. Like, sorry, I can't do that. It films in Canada.
Right.
And like, I have the privilege of doing that. Like a lot of my actor friends don't have that privilege. Mm-hmm. And I am not passing judgment on anyone else's life choices. I'm just saying that in terms of like my daughter taking me to therapy, I'm like, I know you see this much, but like, girl, like there's this much that you're not seeing.
Not yet, anyway. She can't. Yeah. But like, what do you wish? Like, because there are things I wish I would have done differently that I don't even know if they're Sid's issue. But like, as a mother, I'm like, I fucked up. Like, I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, so many things. I mean, truly.
Where I'm like, ugh. And I beat myself up about it. But I don't even know if those, like, I do feel like I'm going to be surprised by the things that I think I am going to be caught off guard when they set me down, because it probably won't be the things that I think they'll be.
I was actually surprised when Birdie started this like line of you were never there for me.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I killed myself to be there for her.
Right. Right.
Like I was working full time on Cougar Town and I would rap and I would like speed home to like make it in time for bath and bed.
Yeah.
Like I would have her come to work. I never had like any downtime because the nanny would bring her to work. And so like, if I had any break, I was like with her, playing with her, playing games, like I had my entire dressing room set up like a playroom.
Yeah. Oh.
And, you know, I would take commercial jobs or like brand deal jobs for work, which a lot of times were in New York. And like, I would always pick like the last flight out, so I would be able to like see Birdie in the morning and whatever before school, take her to school and then go get on the plane, land here at like midnight, wake up at 5 a.m. to do like a press day for a brand, and then go directly from there, take my makeup off at like in JFK in the bathroom, get on a flight and be home back in LA, like land at like 10 p.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
So that I could be there when she wakes up in the morning for school. Oh, and like, God. Exhausting myself. Like,
that's
just
how
being
Jason.
Insane.
That's how Jason is. I'm not. I'm like, what?
You're like, I'm going to stay overnight in a hotel.
I'm not getting up that early. No, I know. Jason is fully that.
Yeah. I would do all of those things like because I had such guilt. And when I went to the Hoffman Institute, that therapy thing that I went to, I remember there was one moment where I was like, who is that about? Is that about Birdie or is that about me?
Well, Brooks Diablo said the most like the craziest thing. She said, you know, my biggest mistake is like parenting the child that I was instead of the child that I have.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, God, don't we all do that?
Yes.
It's like I'm giving Sid everything I needed, but not always giving him like what he needs.
Yeah.
How has the divorce affected her? Like you guys are co-parenting in such like a new age way.
Yeah.
Like how has she reacted?
I think because of the pandemic, the last few years, moving to New York, like all of these things. And before that, not to get too much into it, just because it's like it's her journey, it's her story, not
yes,
you know, like I don't want to like,
of course, and we don't have to at all even.
But she had like some really bad bullying situations in LA like before the pandemic. So when Mark and I split up, we were just like, all we were concerned about really was making sure that the kids felt
as stable as possible. And so we chose to do this thing called nesting, or some people call it bird nesting, where there's a house and it's like the family home and the kids stay in that home. And then Mark and I each have our own room in the house. And then, well, now we share the apartment. We have a two bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, because for a while, like, he had a girlfriend and I,
have you ever gone to the apartment and like had sex? Like, you guys are just like roommates that just met?
Me and Mark?
Yeah.
No. We've not had sex. What are you talking about?
I just think that would
be literally
fun.
I don't even know when I couldn't You're tell like, you when what? We had sex.
Like, not like getting back together, but just like,
I feel like Mark and I are so close. Like, if we wanted to fuck like that, mm-hmm. we would still be married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what
okay,
I mean?
I get like, it. Like, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think I'd be like really into having sex with Jason if I felt like there was like an evil force trying to keep us apart. Like, if
maybe
we...
you just have to think about that.
No, I do. But I'm saying, like, if I had like another apartment with him.
Maybe you need another apartment.
Because do you feel like, not to blame your children, but do you feel like if you and Mark didn't have kids, do you think you guys would still be together?
Oh, I mean, this is my biggest joke that no child of divorce ever wants to hear.
I know.
Like, you know that how your parents are like, this is not about you. Of course it's about you.
I know. No, of course.
I'm kidding. You guys, I'm actually kidding.
No, but Jason and I didn't fight like this right. before we had children.
There's nothing, because it
the
brings up.
The stakes weren't that high.
No, the stakes aren't that high, and it brings up all of your issues.
Everything
comes directly to the surface.
Yes.
And so that's what having children does. It is not about the kids. Like when relationships fall apart, it is not at all about the kids.
Yes.
It is about your own issues.
With being a parent.
And how, no, but also like how it presents itself once you have an added stressor that is such a huge stressor because it's literally
constant,
like, constant and life and death. Like, that's actually what you're talking about. Like, the thing that people, I think, always forget is that when you have a brand new baby, the only thing that is happening in your brain, there's all these other things happening and you're feeling all these things. But in the back of your brain constantly, and it's baby brain, is literally like, I just have to keep this person alive.
Yes.
My only job is to keep this person alive.
Yes.
And so, like, that takes up so much of your bandwidth that it leaves you, you know, my therapist would always say, when you're vulnerable, you're most vulnerable to the things you're vulnerable to.
Ooh, she sounds fun.
Yeah, but it's true.
It's true.
When you're like in a place where you're feeling vulnerable, where you're tired, where you're whatever, then you become vulnerable to your worst
Anything
things.
Can get you.
Yeah. And the
so
things that like
would
keep
you
coming
guys,
up.
You think you'd still be together?
If we didn't have kids, I'd have no idea. I don't know.
Like, was the relationship so different pre-kids?
Well, we didn't. I mean, you see, Mark and I hadn't been together that long when we got married.
Okay.
Well, it was 2 years. We'd been together 2 years when we got married.
And did you know he was the one?
Yeah, for sure. I like knew I was going to have kids with him. And I'm not wrong. I wasn't wrong about it.
At all.
At all. I definitely needed to have kids with him because, you know.
He was the one for that.
Yes, 100%. I think I'm also sort of like, in a place where I'm kind of detaching myself from the idea of like, that like relationships are a thing that you win or lose at.
I'm everything win or lose.
Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's just more complicated than
so
that.
Much
and
more
so much more nuanced. And like, I just feel like I know that we're in each other's lives like till the end for sure. There's no version where it's like.
Right.
And I have friends who've had terrible divorces with real jerky exes and people who do shitty things like withholding money or whatever, finances, or because they're out of like spite or whatever. And I'm always just like, can we dig in a little bit? Like, can that person just like figure out what this is really about?
Right.
And I think that Mark and I did so much of that work of like, what is it really? Like, what is the pain? What is the like resentment? What is the this? You know, when he started dating and like had a girlfriend for a long time, actually, after we split up, that was much younger than me. I really had like to come to terms with feelings that I had about that.
About like your own age?
About aging, about my own worth as I age, as a woman. And like my jealousy of younger women if I have it or if that's just something that's like programmed in me.
Right.
Or what is it that I actually am feeling? Did I want more children? You know what I mean? Like all of these things that I had to like kind of confront in therapy that I'm still kind of confronting in therapy.
Did you want more children?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't think I ever wanted to be pregnant again because my God.
It was hell.
It's not, I mean, it's hard. It's
some
hard
people
on
love
your body.
Being pregnant. I don't understand that.
Wait, I didn't hate being pregnant, but it's hard on your body.
Yeah.
And it's, and things can go, lots of things can go wrong. And like, as you get a little bit older, I think you get more in touch with your mortality. Of course, obviously we all do. And so then those kinds of things become like, oh, I'm not going to endanger myself.
No.
You know what I mean? Like
for sure
that
not.
Kind of thing. So I don't, I like actually don't know the real answer to that. I mean, I know that I had Gina, the dog. So she's become the third daughter.
I love that we both have a dog named Gina.
I know.
But what's also so crazy. Funny.
What's also so crazy is that like I didn't pick the name, you know.
I know. Birdie did.
Birdie did.
It's so wild.
It is wild.
Who of us is gonna die first?
Oh my God, we're gonna die together. On the same day.
I really
holding hands.
I really need, if I do die first, I really want Vizzy to like do some grand gesture of some sort.
Of course.
Like, you know, the movie First Night where like Sean Connery's on like the funeral pyre and he goes out into the ocean and then somebody shoots like a single bow and arrow to light him on fire.
Yes, yes.
Maybe that could be you.
Okay. I'll
Can
do
I
it.
Task you with that?
Yeah, of course. Obviously. I would
also
love to.
Like, I do fear that Jason won't pull the plug on me. Like if I'm like catatonic in a bed.
Oh my God.
I expect you to come in and put a pillow over my face.
Jenny.
Like you must be willing to pull the plug
Jenny.
On me.
Jenny. Okay.
Always.
All right. I'll talk to your sister about it.
She won't pull the plug. I don't trust her. She would like to see me rot away in a bed.
No.
Maybe.
Well, I just want you to be happy. So.
Yes. So like the minute like, you know, my makeup is messed up, like just come and fucking put a fork in me.
Were you the type of person, did you wear lipstick to your like giving birth?
No, I my lips are so chapped right now because I got on Accutane as you suggested. did I not tell you that? No, lipstick. I'm a fucking mess. I like eat salad as I'm walking down the street. I only have makeup on because I knew there was a camera.
I know
here.
You hand salad. You're the original hand salad. Sometimes when I'm walking down the streets of New York and I'm eating sliced turkey out of a bag, I'm like, I'm pulling a Jenny Mullen right now.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite thing to do.
I invented.
You really invented
hand salad. I love you so much.
I love you
Thank you for doing this.
I have to go to pottery now.
I'm obsessed with your pottery. I can't wait to start selling your pottery on my lives.
I know.
I should.
You really should. Well, no, we should do a raffle.
Let's do one.
Because I did a raffle for the abortion funds with Cure Thrift.
Okay.
And it made 10 grand.
Fabulous. Let's do it.
It's really great.
I love you so much.
I love you too. I'm so glad we're friends.
I'm so glad we're friends. I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad that my agency only represents you.
I know. And Jason.
And Jason.
I tested for a show. Was that season?
With Jason.
I've tested for shows with Jason that I haven't gotten before. I've tested to be his wife like multiple times and I haven't gotten it. I feel like.
Now, like, I feel like it's the only role left to play. You have to be Jason's wife in something. You were meant
like
to.
Like us on a sitcom together.
Congrats.
All the fails.
Congrats, guys. Watch Busy's show. It's now streaming
Girls
on Netflix.
Girls 5 Evas on Netflix. I'm doing the talk show for QVC.
Oh, amazing.
I know. That starts May 8th.
All right. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.